Join us for a classic episode of Jack Van Impe Presents, with today's headlines added to show the fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Hello and welcome to Jack Van Impe Presents. Today we have a very interesting program for you with global headlines and some very, very interesting answers that Jack's going to give us for those global headlines. Some of them will include the final seven signs pointing to the Lord's return. I must say there are an awful lot of global headlines there, friends, and so much for us to talk about with you today. First of all, I'd like to ask Jack to do something for us. The seven final signs pointing to the return of the Lord. Jack, people are always saying to me, before you answer that question about the seven final signs, people are always saying, you can't know the day and the hour, but you can know when it's near, can't you?
Oh, Rexha, nothing upsets me more than when some people who only know two Bible verses, John 3:16 and the one about no one knows the day and the hour, Matthew 24:36, is quoted to me. That's not what it says. You always keep a text in context. Now, what Jesus did say in Matthew 24:33 is, you will know when it's near, even at the door, but not the day and the hour, verse 36. Rexella, it's so near I can hear the knock already. Now, how do we know when it's near? Bible signs. It's so plain, it's so understandable when we see what the Word of God has to say. You'll know when it's near, Jesus said. How? Signs, and then he gives many of them in Matthew 24, in Mark chapter 13, in Luke chapter 17, and Luke chapter 21. Plus the Old Testament prophets, 16 books give all the signs. And then we have Paul's 14 books where he mentions all the things that are going to happen just preceding Christ's return. And then there's the book of Revelation, 35 books full of signs. Now, that's why Jesus said in Luke 21:11, fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Verse 25, there shall be signs in the sun, moon, stars, and in the planets. Can we know that it's near? Why do you think God put this verse in the Bible? Hebrews 10:25, exhort, encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How do you know when the day is approaching? How can you see it? Signs. And we're going to give you seven right now that are unbelievable.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question to him. The seven signs. He's been talking about seven signs, definite signs, pointing the return of the Lord. Jack, what are the seven signs?
Rexella, I preached a message for Dr. Dave Williams at Lansing on the seven signs, and what a victory we experienced. He had all of the rooms around the church, the gymnasium, all packed with people watching television because we couldn't get him into a 4,000-seat auditorium. And then he had it in branch churches, for he's a great man of God and really moving ahead for the Lord. And because of this one message, 3,000 souls found the Lord Jesus in one service. We duplicated the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. Now, for you folks to say, oh, no one knows the day and the hour, wait a minute. There are seven major signs, and Jesus said, when these seven happen, you'll know that it's near even at the door. In fact, he said, when these seven happen, it's this generation that shall not pass from the earth, shall not die, shall be raptured, in Luke 21, verse 32. Seven different signs. We'll take them one by one. But listen to me, folks. If you don't believe that it's near even at the door today, you never will believe it. And I think most of you are the lackadaisical Laodicean believers of Revelation 3, verses 15 to 18. He says, I know your works are neither cold nor hot. I would you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. God says, you make me sick. I want to regurgitate. Because of your lazy, lackadaisical, never happened in my lifetime position. you're going to see something shocking.
And now we are going to be going through those seven with you. And the first one, of course, is the great expansion of the European Union. Here's where it started, the European ideal. And of course, that was the Treaty of Rome that led to the economic community and the European Union. Here, Sarkozy seeks to give EU greater world role. Once again, Palestinian Israeli leaders call for larger EU role in peace process. They do trust him. Now, here is a big one, friends, a global currency. The G20 moves the world a step closer to a global currency. Take a look at this. This really troubles me. Microchips implanted in humans. Modern marvel or big brother? The EU. It all started when, Jack? And that's the first big number seven.
Actually, 1948, when Belgium, Luxembourg, and Holland joined together, called Benelux. And you know, the Prime Minister of Belgium, 1949, was Spach, and he said a year after those three got together, I felt like I was sitting in the Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. That's what it is, the revived Roman Empire. There'll only be seven world empires, Revelation 17:10, and that's Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and revived Rome, and that's where we are now. That's the European Union. And Daniel chapter 7, verses 7, 8, 20, 24, Revelation 12, 3, Revelation 13, 1, and Revelation 17, verses 3, 7, 12, and 16 says it would grow to 10. With the three that started in 1948, it became 10 when Greece joined in 1981, and it's going to become global because the leader of the new world order, this is the final sign, devours the whole world, Daniel 7:23. And in Revelation 13:7, he controls all kindreds, tongues, people, and nations. A new world order, a world government. It's in effect right now, as you're going to see in a moment. But there's more. There's an organization called the Bilderbergs. They plan to microchip all humans. That's Revelation 13, verses 16 to 18, where he puts a mark in the hand or forehead, in the skin, just like they're planning to do. You can find that also in Revelation 14, verses 9, 11, 15, 2, 16, 2, chapter 19, verse 20, and chapter 20, verse 4. We're on the road to the new world order.
Whoa, we're going to go on to sign 3 and 4. And friends, here's an unprecedented move by the Obama administration. Take a look at this. Obama team readying for confrontation with Netanyahu. I mentioned that also to you a moment ago. Abbas to tell Obama, no peace talks until Israel backs two states. And the EU upgrade of ties with Israel dependent on two-state solution. And Blair urges Obama to make Mideast peace a priority. Abbas, no Mideast peace without Jerusalem as Palestinian capital. And Barack, Israel can and must make peace within 3 years. All right, now Jack, explain those if you will, please.
Nobody can know when it's near. Jesus said you can know when it's at the door. Now why? There was no Israel for 2,534 years because Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon took the Jews captive to his nation and kept them there, and that took place in 586 BC. 2,534 years later, as I've already said, they came back to their own land and established a place called Israel, May 14, 1948, and that's, of course, the fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 11 and 12, Matthew 24, 32, and of course, Israel is the fig tree according to Joel 1, verse 7, and Hosea 9, verse 10. But that wasn't enough. When they became a nation, they had to capture Jerusalem, for that's going to be the battle point of the world. And that's why Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 says that Jerusalem shall be a cup of trembling. It shall be a burdensome stone. And they're going to try to divide it. And I'm going to tell you something. When this leader out of the New World Order gets the peace going in Daniel 9:27, they're going to have the nation divided. They're going to have a two-state thing. It's coming. But it's against the word of God, because it's then that World War III begins, because they parted my land. They parted Jerusalem. Joel 3, verse 2. So it's all here, and what's coming now, Rexella, is the result of parting the land.
All right, well, we're going to go on to the final three signs: Iran, Russia, and China. And here we go, Israel's thorn. Iranian vice president calls for Israel's destruction. Take a look at those last two words. And Obama gets tougher with Israel on Palestinians and Iran. Again, Russia angered by NATO exercises. And Iran, Russia's helping them. Russia begins delivering missiles capable of repelling Israeli airstrike. And China military buildup seems U.S.-focused. U.S.-focused. Can you believe that one, friends? Does that mean that we could have a war with China, Jack?
There's no doubt about it, Rexella. And that is the fifth, sixth, and seventh signs. There had to be three powerful nations reigning together simultaneously: Iran, Russia, and China. Now, Iran would be the one that would show hatred toward Israel. And you've heard this little Hitler often say, "We're going to get rid of them." He says, "My Mahdi, my Messiah, cannot come until I've obliterated the nation of Israel." And that's Psalm 83, verse 4. "Let us cast Israel off from being a nation, that their name be no more in remembrance." Now, Russia comes to their aid. You just saw where they're loading them with missiles to repel Israel, to fight against the Jew. That is Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 and 2, under the terms of Gog, Magog, Meshach, Tubal, and Rosh. These are all cities in Russia now that will fight against Israel. Israel, yes. Ezekiel 38, verses 8, 14, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Chapter 39, verses 2, 4, twice and 7, 9, 11, 12, 17, 22, 23, 25, 29. No doubt about it. That's why there had to be an Israel as one of the signs. It's here, ladies and gentlemen. And then China comes down, the second wave of the invasion, and that's Revelation 16, verse 12, the kings of the east, the kings of the sun rising. And it's the most horrendous battle in history. That's it. Now, all of these things happen during the tribulation hour, from Revelation 6 to 18. During the reign of the new world order, Jesus is about to come, for that's the final sign before his return. Praise the Lord.
And that's the greatest thing we could ever anticipate, the coming of the Lord. Those signs don't frighten me. It says Jesus is coming. If we're ready to meet him, we're not going to be afraid. Jack, show us how to be ready.
I'll tell you, my heart's moved, Rexella. Do you want to be ready? Jesus loves you. Rexella says every week, he cares, and so do we. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus. Christ died for our sins. He loves you. He shed his blood. He suffered horrendously on that day in Calvary's cross. Now, it's because he so loved you that I'm asking you to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, you died for me. In your tremendous love for me, even though I've been covered with sin of all kinds, your precious blood cleanses from every sin, every sin. And I'm so grateful. Lord Jesus, today I accept you into my heart as my personal Savior. Save me now. In your holy name I pray this. Amen.
Amen. This is why we've come into your home, why we wanted you to watch the program today. Received a letter from a girl just today. She said, "Rexella, I had a gun. I was ready to take my life until I saw the program and I accepted Christ. And now I'm a new person. All of my drugs gone. And I'm walking with the Lord and I'm so happy." I trust that you prayed that prayer. If you did, write to me. There's my address. I'll send you this absolutely free little book of first steps in a new direction. The Lord wants to walk with you and give you his joy, his peace in this troubled, troubled world. And now I just want to say that it's so very important that we have the peace of the Lord in this troubled, troubled world. And I want to leave you with a very good thought. Don't give up on yourself. God hasn't. How good to know the Lord loves us and he'll take care of us. Look forward to being in your home again next week. And until then, remember, God cares for you, so do we. Bye-bye.
Be sure to join us next week for another classic episode with today's headlines added.